Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our two-part study of Revelation chapter 17, verse 18, titled, That Great City Which Reigneth Over the Kings of the Earth.
Amen. That's so clear. And the question is, why have we never been taught this? Why do Christians go to church? Some Christians go to church Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday, every week. That's more than 200 sermons a year. And they don't hear it this one time? Not even off the cuff or mentioned or just as a side note. 200 times a year you can sit under these preachers and they won't mention this stuff. The secret history of the Jesuits. Quote, the public is practically unaware of the overwhelming responsibility carried by the Vatican and its Jesuits in the start of the two world wars. Study why we had world wars.
Yeah.
A situation which may be explained in part by the gigantic finances at the disposition of the Vatican and its Jesuits, giving them power in so many spheres, especially since the last conflict. In other words, money, money, money. They are paying people off. Listen, folks, TBN, Inspiration Network, Daystar, they've all been bought and paid for. You want to know why colleges and seminaries like Liberty University down in Virginia and what's the other one? Baylor and Wheaton, and these big universities supposed to be evangelical. The reason why they don't teach this stuff is they're in bed with Rome. They're paid off. They get millions of dollars to shut up about Rome.
That's right.
And that's why they do it. And I've not reached the point where they would bother with me, but I've actually heard preachers whose ministries grew and they were on dozens of radio stations around the world and everything, or got on TV or whatever, and in comes somebody in a suit with a big check. And they say, if you will become more ecumenical and stop preaching and teaching against Rome, this is yours. Some of them took it.
Yeah.
And that's why they stopped talking about Rome. And if you get on TBN or any of these networks, they'll kick you off. Was it Hal Lindsey or Jack Van Impe? One of those got kicked off of TBN for telling the truth about this. Jack Van Impe? I just want to play another short clip of this, and I want you to listen because he's going to talk about what actually happened. This is factual information from Dave Hunt. From the same DVD.
So we hear Mikhail Gorbachev is called, quote, the highest spiritual authority on earth, unquote. Gorbachev summed up the earthly power of the Roman Catholic Church when he declared, quote, John Paul II played a major political role in the collapse of communism.
Look at that. That's Gorbachev.
In Eastern Europe. The events in Eastern Europe might not have been possible without the presence of this pope, without the great role which he knew how to play on the world scene, unquote. Such praise could never have been directed at Christ or his apostles who were martyred by the secular world, a world that the popes have embraced in spiritual fornication and have even dominated. Papal worldly power has been wielded for centuries in fulfillment of another part of John's remarkable vision. In John's day, it was the Rome of the Caesars that ruled the world. After the Caesars lost their power, the popes ruled in their place over even wider territories and often more ruthlessly. Pope Gregory XI's papal bull of 1372 in Cuna Domini claimed the papal dominion over the entire Christian world, secular and religious, and excommunicated all who failed to obey the popes and to pay them taxes. That bull was confirmed by subsequent popes, And in 1568, Pope Pius V swore that it was to remain an eternal law. Pope Alexander VI drew a north-south line down the global map of that day, and in the name of Christ, who possessed nothing on this earth but his robe, he gave Africa, India, and Asia to Portugal, and the newly discovered North and South America he gave to Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain, on the condition that the native inhabitants of those lands must be made to join the Roman Catholic Church and pay taxes to the popes. Rome's dominance in
Latin America remains
to this day, nor is empire building relegated to the past. The Second Vatican Council in Lumen Gentium on November 21, 1964, declared that, quote, "The Catholic Church ceaselessly and efficaciously seeks for the return of all humanity and all its goods under Christ," unquote, meaning, of course, under the popes, Christ's alleged vicars. Pope Alexander II decreed that Harold, the lawful king of England, was a usurper. He excommunicated him and his followers and gave the throne to William, Duke of Normandy. With the Pope's blessing, William the Conqueror killed Harold in battle, took over England, and was crowned in London on Christmas Day in 1066. He accepted the crown of England, quote, "in the name of the Holy See of Rome," unquote. Hundreds of other examples could be given. There can be no doubt at all about Catholic Rome's identity as the city known as Babylon, built on seven hills, which committed spiritual fornication with the kings of the earth, and which reigned over the kings of the earth. No other city even comes close to her in this regard.
And you know, Islam is going to come under the umbrella of Rome. But how many of you knew that that's how it started in the first place? Did you know that Islam began because of Muhammad's Catholic wife and her Catholic uncle?
Yep, that's right.
And that they were in contact with representatives from the Vatican, and that what the Vatican wanted to do was kind of set Muhammad up to be like the patron saint of the Arabs and bring them into the church. And he couldn't be controlled. And so the rest is history. But after the Gog-Magog War, 5/6 of the Islamic armies that joined with Russia to come down against Israel destroyed, and then you got it. And they'll all come under the Pope. And again, we don't have enough time tonight to go into all this. And we've gone into some of this in previous weeks, showing that this city reigneth over the kings of the earth. And just a couple more points, just to show you history. 1647, Massachusetts Bay banned Jesuits from the colony, and any found among them were condemned to death. Did they teach you that in your history class? I don't think they did. That all, this is what they, this was their law, basically. That all and every Jesuit seminary, priest, missionary, or other spiritual or ecclesiastical person made or ordained by any authority, power, or jurisdiction, derived, challenged, or pretended from the Pope or See of Rome, or that shall profess himself or otherwise appear to be such by practicing and teaching of others to say any popish prayers, by celebrating masses, or by using any other of the Romish ceremonies and rites of worship, who shall continue, abide, remain, or come into the province, or any part thereof, shall be deemed and accounted an incendiary and disturber of the public peace and safety, and an enemy of the true Christian religion. End quote.
Wow.
Now, if that was said about evangelical Christians, it would be right up there with the Mayflower Compact and the Bill of Rights. But that was about the Roman Catholic Church and all who belonged to it. You see, the reason the story you're told in school is that all these people came over here for freedom of religion so that everybody could practice their religion as they saw fit. That's not true.
Amen.
They came to get away from the church state setup.
Yeah.
And any religion like Islam or Roman Catholicism that is a church-state setup, they banned from coming to America for their protection. That's why they did it. But they always return and come back stronger than ever. It reminds you of what Jesus said in Luke 11:24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. This is a person who's able to free themselves of demonic activity, devils in possession, but they're not saved.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit is not there. And so the devil comes back and finds it clean and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's the history of America.
Amen.
The Roman Catholic Church came in and the Bible believers took a stand and said, no, you can't have it. And they kicked them out. But when they came back, they found an apostatizing country and they came in and filled the void. And I want to run through this real quick. You don't think Rome owns the U.S. government? I'm not going to ask for hands, but how many here don't think that Rome owns the U.S. government? The Supreme Court of the United States. There are six Roman Catholics currently serving on the court. They win. Five's the majority. Samuel Alito, Anthony Kennedy, John Roberts, Antonin Scalia, Sonia Sotomayor, and Clarence Thomas, Roman Catholics. And almost all of them Jesuit trained. You have three Jews, Stephen Breyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Elena Kagan, and they're Jew in DNA only.
That's right.
Then you have the President of the United States. He's packed his White House with Roman Catholics, but he also has this cabinet that is not constitutional. It's jokingly referred to as Obama's kitchen cabinet. It's a cute name for his Catholic controllers. They include Senator Bob Casey, Ted Kennedy and his wife used to be on it. Ted's in hell now. Governor Tim Kaine of Virginia, Representative Patrick Murphy, Senator Richard Durbin, Senator John Kerry, Senator Patrick Leahy, Representative Xavier Becerra, Representative Mike Capuana, Representative Lacey Clay, and a list of authors, educators, and others, and almost all of them are Jesuit trained, and they are coaching Obama. Todd Starnes had this to say, if the folks coming across the border were evangelical Christians hoping to homeschool their kids, Obama would call out the Marines. You know why they're not calling out the Marines? Because they're a bunch of Roman Catholics.
That's right.
And Muslims.
That's
who is coming illegally into this country. The U.S. Senate has 26 members that are active Roman Catholics. But that almost gives them as many as they need. But most others are ecumenical. Now, I mean, you can stop almost anything with that number. You may not win pass bills, but you can stop anything. And most of the others are ecumenical Protestant apostates. How many of you knew that Brother John McCain was a Baptist brother? Do you know that?
No.
And Mitch McConnell down there in Kentucky, he's a good Baptist. Oh, yeah. I'm joking. The House of Representatives, did you know the House chaplain for the first time in American history under John Boehner is Jesuit Father Patrick Conroy. Never in U.S. history has the chaplain of U.S. House been a Jesuit. The Speaker is Catholic John Boehner. The Majority Leader is Catholic Nancy Pelosi, and most other leadership positions are held by Jesuit-trained Roman Catholics. The electorate. Do you know in 1776, when we won our freedom, the Roman Catholics made up less than 1% of the population. As of 2015, Roman Catholics are the largest religious body in the nation, representing 22% of the population. Folks, I'm telling you, the reason America is going to hell is because of Rome and the Pope. And you won't get that on the evening news. But that's the fact. And the more this country goes under Rome, the more apostasy and sodomy you're going to see in this country.
Amen, brother.
The Catholic priesthood is sodomite.
Yes.
And mostly pedophiles.
Yes.
Higher education. There are 197 U.S. educational institutions of higher education who are members of the Association of Catholic Colleges and Universities. 28 of these are Jesuit. Do you realize before 1776, not one was even allowed to be in this country?
Amen, brother.
Now there's 28 with thousands of students. You ever heard of Georgetown?
No.
Loyola?
Yeah.
Just look up how many thousands of people are being Jesuit trained in those schools. High schools. As of 2011, that's the most recent statistics I could find, the Roman Catholic Church operates the world's largest non-governmental school system in the world. They call themselves Christian. Yeah, you got to find out what they actually are before you know they're Catholic. Now, Worthington Christian is Grace Brethren. But Catholic schools are the largest non-public school system in the USA as the world. And in 2010, 2 million students attended 6,980 Roman Catholic schools. That's just high school I'm talking about. And we could go on and on and on. It is like a satanic octopus with tentacles spreading throughout the globe. Government, education, and media alike. And churches. And I'm here to tell you, I won't fellowship with most evangelical preachers today because they are either sellouts or they're fakes and they're Jesuits in disguise.
Amen.
And I tell you that because I sit down with these guys and I try to talk to them as ministers. And when I bring this stuff up, you ought to see them. The way they react. And they are either a Jesuit-trained, disguised, stealth, what would you call that? A hireling, but it's worse than that. A wolf. Or they're just completely sold out. But either way, I want nothing to do with any of them. If I can't, I don't care what you call yourself, whether you call yourself Methodist, Presbyterian, or Independent Fundamental Baptist, if I sit down with you and I talk to you about these things and you have no interest at all, you just told me you're not a God-called preacher. So what are we going to do? We're going to fret, panic, curl up in a fetal position and weep. That's what some people can't stand to hear this stuff because that's what they're like, oh, what's the end of the world? Ephesians 5, 14 and 16 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. You know, there are some dead Christians.
Yep.
They're like zombies. Dead man walking. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. He's talking to Christians.
Yes, he is.
The church, the people, the Christians in Ephesus. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Read that with me again. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Jenny, these are exciting times, aren't they?
Amen.
Exciting times. So how do you redeem the time? Well, I believe you should be in God's Word. Dre, can you and... where's Dre at? Is he back there? Dre, Nick, you can help. One way you can redeem the time is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And we're going to make it real easy for you. We're going to hand out these chick tracts. Yeah, one for everybody. Let's see if everybody... I think we have enough for everybody. Take some more there. And then you can come back and get some more. If you were here Sunday, we played the video version of this. And it's one of the best, most widely read and known tracts, I think, ever printed. I think it came out in early 70s, maybe 72, somewhere in there.
Was that the first one he ever did?
I think so. This is a chick track. All it's got on the back, it's got our website stamped on it so that if you give it to somebody and they want more information, they can just go online and go to our website. And these we're not going to hand out, but I'm going to have Nick put these on the table. I'll keep one of them. These are our little scripture card tracts. John 3:16 on the front. Nick, you can just put them. Yeah, put them out there on the table. That's right. Sorry. It's got John 3:16 on the front, and then the gospel message on the back with the website. Now, folks, I don't want to know whether you actually hand those out or not. I mean, if you come and tell me, that's great. I'll say praise the Lord. But if you don't, I'm not going to come asking you. It's between you and the Lord. But I think you should be ashamed of yourself if you won't do it. This is the least you can do for the one who died and shed his blood to pay for your sins. And after being buried, he rose again the third day. I'm not up here asking for your checkbooks. I'm not asking for MasterCard or Visa. I'm asking you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think any of you are saved today, then you ought to be able to do that. And you say, well, I can't talk to anybody. Let the tract do the talking for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone who got these gospel tracts tonight in their hands. I pray, Lord, that you will give opportunity. Lord, that they'll leave them if they go out to eat and tip, or if they go through a drive-through, they check out, give one to the cashier. Lord, I just pray they'll find ways they can put them on car windshields or hand them out at a farmer's market or even go through the mall and hand them out until the security rent-a-cop runs them off. Whatever opportunity you give us, Lord, that we'll have boldness to do that. And Lord, that we will not be ashamed of you and not be ashamed of your gospel, because we don't want the Father to be ashamed of us.
Amen.
And there might be some folks here tonight who are hurting, Lord. Things in life can just drag us down, but help us all to focus on what's important and to see that this life is not all there is. And no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it can be, there's a bigger plan. There's a bigger purpose. And it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Nice.
Oh, I'm going to play this. I'm going to give you.
Yeah.